Drinking from the spring of living water every Monday during the Bible study of the Deeper Christian Life Ministry is such an enriching experience that affords you an unforgettable encounter with God and His Word. The vibrant General Superintendent of the Ministry, Pastor W.F. Kumuyi, is a renowned minister and teacher of the Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, having traveled worldwide for the propagation of the Gospel. Each contact with his ministration gives you the privilege of joining our thirsty and expectant congregation to receive the bread of life, which satisfies the body, soul, and spirit through anointed messages filled with unction of the Holy Ghost. This message will transform you and help to deepen your walk with God and your service to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Sit back as we present to you the unchanging Word of God through his minister, whose life revolves around the preaching of the gospel of salvation and purity of life in preparation for life here and hereafter. Let's welcome Pastor W.F. Kumuyi.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our fellowship around the world tonight again. We thank you, Lord, because every time we come, you reveal your mind, your will, your purpose, your plan to us. And Lord, we pray both young and old, children and parents, and the leaders and the teachers, as well as the learners. Every one of us will learn from your word tonight in Jesus' name. We're asking, oh Lord, you keep us awake, that, Lord, the tiredness of the body will not make us sleep while the word is going on in Jesus' name. Teach us, Lord, and lead us in the word. We pray that the grace to follow through and the grace to so learn that you'll bring conviction, transformation, power in our life, you give unto us in Jesus' name. That all those will see the glory, the beauty of the study of the word in every life, and will they want to follow after the Lord like we are following the Lord in Jesus' name. Bring conviction through the word, commitment through the word, courage through the word, that we'll be able to go on living according to the conviction you have painted and planted in our hearts in Jesus' name. Lead your people, teach your people tonight. Be glorified and exalted. And let the church be edified. Thank you, Lord, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. I welcome you to the Bible study tonight. It's always a glorious time, wonderful time, as we meet together and we study the word of God. By the way, you'll notice that when the book of Daniel, and Daniel has two parts. He cites the historic part and then the prophetic part. The historic part is what you have in chapters 1 to 6. And then the prophetic part we have in chapter 7 all through to 12. We've taken our time going very slowly in chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. The reason we've done that is because there's so much to learn of the life of Daniel and his three friends and the people around them at that time. And we're about concluding chapter 6 before you come into chapter 7, which is prophetic. We're looking at three verses today in Daniel chapter 6. And we're reading from verse 25. Then King Darius wrote unto all people and nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he walketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of lions. You know what has happened here? Already we've gone through Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 all through to 24. And the people that plotted and planned, they wanted Daniel dead. But the believer will never die before his time. And you will not die before your time in Jesus' name. You know those people, they wanted to deny Daniel of prolonged ministry. Not only that, they wanted to deny the church of the revelation that God has for us in chapter 7 all through to 12. What if they succeeded? I mean those enemies, I mean those persecutors, I mean those haters of progress. And what if they succeeded in getting rid of Daniel? How would you be able to have the book of Daniel? How would you be able to have all these other chapters that follow? You know what the devil wants to do in your life is to stop your ministry, but it will not succeed. You see, a child of God has a calling of God, has a commission from God, and you do not know the things that are still ahead that you're going to do, and you're going to do them. But thank God they did not succeed. And so Daniel remained alive. And because he remained alive, you know the story, how the king came very early in the morning. And then he said, Daniel, are you still there? Is your God, whom you serve day and night continually, is he able to deliver you from the mouth and from the power of the lions? And then Daniel replied and said, my God has sent his angel, and he has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. And that's where we start up the other time, and the king became so happy in verse 23. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because what? He believed his God, like I'm sure you believe your God. That triumph, that overcoming power of Daniel over those lions, the face that he had produced a great testimony to the power and the care and the love of the living God for his own. It was faith in God that made Daniel dare the decree of the king. It was faith in Daniel that made him remain calm under life's threatening trouble and trial. You see, when you have faith in God, there'll be no panicking. There'll be no fear. And there'll be no anxiety or worry. You'll be calm. You'll be cool. And you'll be fearless and bold with conviction, even though your life might be threatened, because you know you will not die before your time. And because you know whatever happens in the world, God has the final say. Christ has the final say. In your life, Satan does not have the final say. The world does not have the final say. And all those persecutors, all those enemies, they do not have the final say. Who has the final say? God. Who has the final say? Christ. The final say you find in the promise of God. And that means then that your word, when you stand on the promises by faith, you with God and Christ in you, you have the final say. If you say, I will not die, you will not die. If you say, the lions will not destroy me, they will not destroy you. If you say, unto the mountain, you mountain, I'm still going to get rid of you, and I have a further ministry to have, to be able to minister to other people, you have the final say. I said, you have the final say. So I'm asking you then, what do you say? When those presidents and princes, when those persecutors and lions, when they're all there gazing at you and they want to destroy you, and you remember that they don't have the final say, and that the enemies don't have the final say, that you have the final say, and whatever you say, you'll have what you say. And if you say, I'm going to get in there and come out and continue ministry, it will be like that in Jesus' name. It was the faith that Daniel had. That was the faith that kept him. And the faith will keep you in Jesus' name. It was faith that brought assurance that all will be well at the end. And I want to tell you, in your life, all will be well at the end. And it will be well with you this year in Jesus' name. And Daniel knew that it was well. Because of that, that's why he had peace. That's why he had patience in his heart in the hour of danger and probable death. It was fear that moved God's heart to send the angel into the den and to shut the mouths of all the lions. All the lions in your life, the Lord will shut their mouth in Jesus' name. God recognizes faith and responds to all its call and petition. And then when Daniel came out, the Bible says no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. Deliverance of Daniel brought a great discovery to Darius the king. He saw God as the living God, having personality, having love, having affection, having compassion in his heart, having power, kingdom, glory, dominion, majesty. The great God is not just a great mighty force like electricity. He is the living God. He's not an impersonal, powerful substance. And it's not just like thunder or like any other force that has no life. He is the living God. He is not like man, living and growing, who passes from infancy to manhood in life. He is the unchanging God. It touched the spirit of Darius that there is a being, a God, a living God, that could accomplish such great supernatural acts uncommon to man since the world began. He could not resist the urge. He could not resist the desire to proclaim and publish the knowledge and revelation of the living God to all people, all nations, and all languages that dwell in all the earth. That's why the Bible is telling us that, like they did, you don't want a person like Nebuchadnezzar to beat you to it, to go ahead of you and do more than you are doing. You see, when Nebuchadnezzar had the miracle working power of God in his life, he gave the glory to God, not just in local place. He published it, publicized it in all nations and with people and languages. And now when Darius saw this, even though the miracle did not happen to Darius in particular, it happened to Daniel. All the same, he said, you cannot keep this. You cannot keep quiet. You cannot hold on to this. You cannot hide this. Everybody must know. Everybody must hear. And because of that, he published it everywhere. And that's what we are going to do. And that's what you are going to do. You'll tell everybody around you of the miracle working power of God in Jesus' name. Look at Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. I'm reading from verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king unto all people and nations and languages that dwell in all the earth. You see what he did? You see what Nebuchadnezzar did when he came out of his sanity? When he came out of the problem that he had? We're told he wrote unto all the people, all the nations, all the languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and the wonders that the high God has wrought toward me. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. And if you have gratitude in your heart and you're happy and you know that God has done something great for you, he saved your soul. He brought peace in your heart. You are reconciled unto God. He has healed you. He has delivered you. You want to tell everybody around. That's what Nebuchadnezzar did. And even when it has not happened to you directly, it has happened to your friend. It has happened to somebody you love. It has happened to somebody that you know. Like Darius knew Daniel. And that thing happened to Daniel. He wasn't the one that received the miracle. But because of this great manifestation of the power of God, he said, everybody must hear this, even though I'm not the one that received the miracle. And as whatever miracle you hear in your district, in your region, in your nation, in your state, anywhere, you go and tell other people to show the might and the glory, the power and the strength of the Almighty God. We're looking at Isaiah chapter 34. Isaiah chapter 34. I'm reading from verse 1. Come near, ye nations, to hear, And hearken, ye people, let the earth hear, and all that dwell therein, the world and all things that come forth of it. This last has always been the attitude of the children of God, of the servants of the Lord, that when God has done something wonderful and something great, they want to tell everybody around, come and hear. That's why Jesus gave us a great commission. After those disciples saw him, he rose from the dead. And they saw the manifestation of the power of God in raising him from the dead. He said, now you have seen. Now you have known. It's me, myself. I died, but then I've risen again for the salvation of the world. Now you go into all the world and teach and preach the gospel, this good news and this glad tidings, this story of redemption. Go and tell everyone that Jesus Christ is risen again. Go and tell everyone they don't have to die in their sins. Go and tell everyone they can be saved because Jesus Christ died for them and he rose again. If Darius did it, you can do it, you are going to do it. If Nebuchadnezzar did it, you can do it, you are going to do it. If the apostles did it, you can do it, and you are going to do it in Jesus' name. We're looking at this study tonight on the divine attributes of the living God. The divine attributes of the living God. Come back to Daniel chapter 6. In Daniel chapter 6, I'm reading from verse 26. It says, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. And I begins to give us the attributes of that God. And begins to give us the authority of that God. Begins to give us the acts of that God. It talks about his attributes. It talks about his authority. And talks about his action, his acts. Look at verse 26. It says, before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. Now the acts of the actions and the wonders, the signs and the things that he did. In verse 27, he delivereth and rescueth. And you know, you see Darius. Darius could have said, he delivered. He rescued if he was talking about Daniel alone. But this man, he saw that this is a living God. And a living God does not only act in the past. A living God does not only do something in the past. He acted in the past. He's acting now. He will continue to act. That's why Darius put it in the present continuous tense. And he says, he delivered. He delivered, he's delivering now, he'll continue to deliver in Jesus' name. He rescued, he's rescuing people now, and he will continue to rescue. And then he tells us, he walketh, not that he just walked in the past, yes, he walked in the past, and he's walking now, and he will continue to walk. He walketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. He tells us there is no area, there is no dominion, whether in the sky, or in the firmament of heaven, or in heaven itself, on earth, under the earth, anywhere a miracle working power of God is needed, God does it because he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who has delivered Daniel? Because he has this power that abideth forever, and because he has this glory and honor that abideth forever. That's why he delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. We're going to divide the study tonight to three parts. Number one, the attributes of the living God. Not a dead God, not an impotent God, not a God that used to be but is no more. The living God that is still alive today and will be alive forever. It's been alive from all eternity, dateless past, until the future eternity, eternal future, dateless future, because he is the living God. And we're going to look at some of his attributes. Number two, the authority of the living God. He has kingdom, he has dominion, he has power, he has strength, and he has majesty, and everything is under his control. the wind and the waves and the storm and the lions and the bear and everything, every power on earth, you find under the authority and the control of this Almighty God. Yes, authority, the authority of the living God, and then the acts of the living God. You know, there are people, when you think about men, they can do something but they don't. They have the ability, but they don't. They're not willing. But in the case of God, he has the power. And because of the love he has, and because of his mercy, and because of his goodness, and because of his affection, he has compassion, he has love, he has mercy. Because of that, he makes use of his ability to do something in the lives of the people that believe on him. That's how we're going to look at number three, the acts of the living God. Number one, the attributes of the living God. The attributes of the living God. Number two, the authority of the living God. The authority of the living God. Number three, the acts, the actions of the living God. Let's come back to number one. What's number one? The attributes of the living God. Let's come back to Daniel chapter 6, verse 26. The first part of verse 26. Here is what it says. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God. He is who? The living God, and steadfast forever. Now, Darius said, in my kingdom, I stamp out it easy. I wash off, I clean up, I destroy by a decree. That there is no atheism in my kingdom. If he could do that in his whole kingdom, how about you in your own territory? How about you in your family? How about you among the circle of friends that you have? That you say, all around me, you are here, and then you draw a circle around yourself and say, inside the circle of my family, and the circle of my friends, and the circle of the people that know me, all the people that are associated with me, there's not going to be atheism. Atheism is the people that say there's no God. And Darius said, in my kingdom, in my dominion, anyone around me here on whom I have any control in my jurisdiction, there's nobody that is serving a dead God. There's nobody saying there's no God, because we have seen. And we see it in Daniel. And we know that there is a God in heaven. If there is no God in heaven, look, how about Daniel? How about the preservation? How about the protection? How about the fulfillment of the promise of God upon Daniel? Therefore, he said, all around me here, no atheism. If you can make up your mind that none of your friends will be an atheist. Am I right? None of your people, the people that are close to you, you'll not be, you know, walking hand in hand and walking shoulder to shoulder with somebody who does not believe in this living God. And then you see the God of heaven is the living God. He is the fountain of life. That's what Darius just discovered. He said, the God of Daniel. By the way, you understand the difference between the God of Daniel and the God of Belshazzar and the God of Babylon and the God of this world and the God of whatever. This is different. This is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And this is the living God. He is the fountain of life and is the giver of life. All living creatures derive their lives from him. And we all depend on him. But he himself, the living God, he is independent. That means he can live without you. He can live without the whole world. He had been living without the world before the world was created. And therefore he has independent life, independent power, independent control, independent authority. He is immutable. That means unchangeable. He is infinite. He is eternal. In fact, the Bible says, the word of God says, and we know it, he liveth forever. His existence is from everlasting as well as to everlasting. He is without beginning as well as without end. How mysterious that is. God has life in himself. In fact, that's what Jesus Christ himself, who came from the very bosom of the Heavenly Father. That's what he said in John chapter 5, verse 26. John chapter 5, verse 26. For as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself. That means, you know, in our case, we derive our lives from God. He created us. He made us. He gave us life. But nobody gave him life. He had always been alive from all eternity. He has life in himself. Here Christ himself affirmed that God is the source of all life. As he is the living God. The living God is the eternal King who had been alive before time began. And who will continue to live when time shall be no more. Is immortal and is incorruptible in his essence. He is permanent, he is unchangeable, he is eternal. He is the true God, the living God, the holy God, he is a righteous God, he is a merciful God, he is a faithful God, he is a mighty God, he is the eternal God. And that's what Daniel had known all along. That's what gave Daniel faith. When you know the kind of God you serve, when you know the power, the eternality, the infinity of the God yourself, you know the majesty and you know the power, the strength, the highness, the greatness of the God you serve, nothing will terrify you anymore. And he is the God of heaven. He is the God of heaven and earth. He is the God of the whole earth. He is the God of the spirits of all flesh. He is the God of truth, without iniquity, just and right. He is the Lord God of knowledge and the God of glory and the God of peace. And he is the God of patience and consolation and the God of our salvation. You think about this God, he's so great. And that's why Darius said, this is the living God. And we have the proof of it because we have seen the manifestation of his power in Daniel. And I pray that your neighbors will see the manifestation of the greatness, the goodness, and the mercy, and the compassion, and the power of God through your life. Everything I pray to you this year in Jesus' name. And like Darius not believed because of what he saw in Daniel about the Almighty God, I pray that people around you too, they will believe through you in Jesus' name. We're looking at Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Let's listen to the Almighty God himself declaring who he is. Darius had said, he's the living God. What does God say about himself? Look at it in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 40. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. Think about that. Almighty God himself affirming and confirming and saying, yes, Darius was right. And all the people that know him as a true God, as a faithful God, as the immutable God, unchanging God, and the living God, they are right. Because God himself said, I lift up my hand to heaven and I say, I live forever. We're looking at Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, and we're reading from verse 28. Here himself, the Lord is asking a question. When you have a problem and you tremble, the Lord is asking you a question. When you have a mountain before you and you are afraid, the Lord is asking you a question. When your body is racked with pain and sickness, and then you begin to shake, tremble, and you become afraid, the Lord is asking you a question. When the princes and the presidents, when they surround you and they say, we'll kill you, we'll destroy you, we'll make a decree that will terminate your life and will terminate your ministry, and then you become afraid, the Lord is asking you a question. When the people of the world, when they gather around and then they say, you think you're going to church, you think you're serving God, we're going to deal with you. And then your knees begin to knock together and you need to breathe very fast as if I'm going to die. The people of the world, they said they are going to deal with me. The Lord is asking you a question. Look at that question in chapter 40 of Isaiah, verse 28. Hast thou not known? Why are you afraid? Why are you intimidated? Were you shaking? Were you worried? Were you anxious? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding? You'll not be afraid again, because this God is your God. This God is your heavenly Father. And he says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He says, he'll be with you to the very end. No worry, no anxiety anymore in Jesus' name. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint. Now, it's talking about the youth that do not know God. The youth that do not have God, but the youth that know God, you will not faint. The youth that know God, you will not be weary. The youth that know God, you will not fall, you will not falter, you will not fail. But those who do not know God, you know, there are storms in life. The difficulties in life, the dangers in life, and the people that do not have the Almighty God to help them, what are they going to do in the day of danger, in the day of battle? For us who know God, there is nothing to fear. I said, for us who know God, there is nothing to fear. It says, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall do what? They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. When you know this living God, he will be with you. How does somebody know the living God? Because you see in the case of Darius, he was still doubtful. Daniel, is your God whom you serve continually? Is he able to deliver you from the power of the lions? He didn't know. He wanted to find out. How do you cross from the point of unbelief to the point of faith? That you know, this God, the mighty God, he'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. And whatever I'm passing through, I'm not going to stay there. I'm going to pass through, and I'm going to come to the other side, the resurrection side. You need to turn away from every other God and turn unto the living God. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And you're going to find out how we now come to believe in the living God. How the living God becomes our God and becomes our Lord, and it becomes a Savior, becomes a Redeemer, and then becomes a stay and a strength of our very lives. We're looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we urge unto you. How ye turned, that's a word, mark that word. How ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. You see, all men have been sinners. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there is no one righteous, no, not one. The Bible says we have all gone astray. We served the dead God, the gods that be no gods at all. But now when you hear the gospel and the preacher comes to you, like you are hearing the word of God now, and a soul winner, an evangelist comes to you, and the word that he preaches has an entrance into your heart. And then, as a result of that word coming to you, oh, you say, I need to turn. I didn't know this before. I didn't have the light before. I didn't know the way of salvation before, but now I know. And you turn from yourself, and you turn from sin, and you turn from the world. If the world was your God before, that means the world controlled your thoughts, your action, your life, and you were so much afraid whatever the world will say or do, because the world was your God. Or maybe self was your God. You idolized self, you exalted self, you worshipped self, and you did everything, you sacrificed to self. But now you turn away from that God, and it was sin. You loved sin so much, you delighted in sin so much, and you ate sin and drank sin and embraced sin, and you just lived your life in sin, and sin was your God, you turn from that God, the dead God, and you turn to the living God. That's what the Thessalonians did. That's how the living, when there is a persecution, draw near unto God. And when there is something trying to intimidate you, make you afraid, make you panic, and make you tremble, draw nearer unto God. It says, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our body washed with pure water. Let us hold fast. How do we hold what we believe? How do we hold what we believe? Hold it fast. And you know, when you're sick, you're very tender. And when you're sick, it appears what you are holding, you cannot hold it again, and you hold it with a loose hand. If your relatives will come and you will say, how about this? How about this? You say, well, you are my people. Whatever you say, no, you have the final say. I said you have the final say. And if you exercise your authority and your faith, this sin, it comes and it will go. I said it has come, it will go. That's why the Bible says, and it came to pass. It has not come to stay, it has come to pass. It will pass away. I said it will pass away. That's the reason why, whatever the lions are, whatever the persecutors are, you are standing firm with the Lord. And then you are holding fast the profession of your faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promise. He will see you through. I said he will see you through. This our God is the omnipresent God. He feels both the earth and the heaven. He's the omniscient God. That means he knows all things. He's the omnipotent God. He can do all things. He's the possessor of the heavens and the earth. He's of unspotted perfect purity. He's the infinite God that is infinite in love, infinite in wisdom, infinite in power, and is good and merciful. His mercy will never leave your life, in Jesus' name. Point number two now, Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, we're looking at verse 26. Daniel chapter 6, verse 26. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. Look up, brothers and sisters, for a moment. I make a decree. You know, it's wonderful when you see you've done something wrong to be able to reverse that thing. You know, there are people, if they do something wrong, if they're going the wrong direction, and then they come, there comes a discovery, and the light shines in your heart. Oh, they say, I'm going to hold on to my integrity. I'm going to hold on to my self-esteem. I'm going to hold on to my personality. If I turn around, if I change, people will think I'm not a stable fellow. What am I saying? Darius made a decree before, and he signed that decree. If anybody will pray to any God anywhere, except unto him, Darius, for all these 30 days, he'll be thrown into a lion's den. And now that thing had happened, that Daniel prayed, he threw him to the lion's den. And then Daniel came out without being hurt. And then Darius said, I was wrong. All these presidents and princes and persecutors, they deceived me. I have been deceived in making that decree. Now, I'm going to correct what is wrong in your life. That's what makes you a great man. That's what makes you a great woman. That's what makes you a real believer. That's what makes heaven to smile upon you. When you know, I've done something wrong. I signed a wrong decree. The direction I was going, that was wrong. Now I reverse everything. And you see what he has done here. He reversed the decree that he made before. He said, throw that one away. Although they said, it's by the law of the Medes and the Persians that altereth not, that changes not. He said, this miracle has changed the law of the Persians and of the Medes. And this miracle that I see has altered everything I ever signed. I cancel that one. I throw that one away. I wipe that one out. If you will do that in your life, God's blessing will come upon you. And God will write about you in his book, in the book of remembrance. That's why Darius' name is over here. And the decree, the new decree, that's why it's over here. Because he reversed the original decree. You look at your life. What things have you said? There's some people that say, once I determine, this is what I will do it. Even if I discover later I was wrong, I will still do what I said I will do. Once I have signed something, and once I've committed myself, I want to be a man of my word. And even if I see that I was wrong, I'm going to still keep to it because I'm a man of my word. Not Darius. Darius said, I was wrong. That's what a decree I can say. What's it in your life that you now discover as we study the word of God? What promise have you made? You now discover you are wrong. And what thing have you signed? You now discover you are wrong. And what a kind of decision have you taken before? And now you see that you are wrong. You will reverse it tonight. And that's why Darius, that's what he did. He said, I reverse that thing. I make a new decree. This new decree supersedes the other decree. This new decree cancels the other decree. Forget about that one. I was deceived into that. This is the decree now. We're going to walk by. And as you walk by this new decree, the blessing of God will be abundant in your life in Jesus' name. That's repentance. That's restitution. That's turning around. That's saying, I was wrong. I will not do that again. I will not say that again. I will not sign something like that again. I'm going to now stand by a new word, a new promise, a new decision, a new decree. And that's the reason we come to study the Bible, so that as we're studying the Bible and the word of God reveals something to you that you are wrong in showing it to you. You are wrong in something you said. You are wrong in something you did. You are wrong in an action that you took. You say, Lord, now I realize I'm going to change. I'm going to turn around. Everything will be new from today in Jesus' name. Come back to Daniel chapter 6 and verse 26. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He's telling us about the authority of this living God. It is common knowledge that the great kingdoms of the past have been destroyed. When Nebuchadnezzar and Darius received revelations of from heaven, they became enlightened and they are waking to the spiritual realities and divine truth. They both affirmed that the only living God, the eternal God, will have, only the living God, only the eternal God will have a kingdom, a dominion, which shall not be destroyed. That's what is said here, and that was what the dream of Nebuchadnezzar revealed. Let's look at Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. God shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and shall stand forever. The kingdom of God will stand forever. That's what Nebuchadnezzar eventually realized. Let's look at Daniel chapter 4, verse 34. Daniel chapter 4, verse 34. And at the end of the days, I, Daniel, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth how long? Forever. Whose dominion is what kind of dominion? An everlasting dominion. And his kingdom is from generation to generation. When the light came, when the knowledge came, when enlightenment came into them, then they knew that this God is an everlasting God. And his kingdom, his dominion, is from generation to generation. It will not be left to another. It will not be destroyed. Was that peculiar to Nebuchadnezzar? Was that peculiar to Darius, did other people know that this God has a dominion that will be forever and ever? Let's see in the word of God in Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15, we're looking at verse 18. Exodus 15, verse 18. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. Amen. A good amen.
Amen.
You will reign in your heart. Amen. You will reign in your life.
Amen.
You will reign in your business.
Amen.
You will reign in your family.
Amen.
And you will reign forever and ever. You know the implication of that? The moment you commit your life to the Lord, you never look back again. You say, I've given my life to the Lord and on forever and ever. It will reign in my life here. And then when you cross over from us to heaven, the Lord is still reigning. It means that you'll never give the throne of your heart to any other God anymore. To any other supreme being anymore. And to any other master, any other Lord anymore. You say, Jesus is my Lord. He has become my Savior. And I've given the control of my life unto him. And this God, the King of heaven and earth, he is my King now. He is my Lord now. He is my director, my leader, my master, my controller. And because of that, he shall reign in my heart, in my life, forever and ever. I pray it will be so. In Psalm 93, we're looking at verse 1. Psalm 93, verse 1. The Lord reigneth, he is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he has girded himself. The world also is established that it cannot be moved. He tells us it's because the Lord is reigning, because the Lord is in control. That's why the world is established. And if the Lord is in control of your life will be established. Nothing you build and nothing you develop, nothing you plan will ever be destroyed in Jesus' name. And you know, there are people, they say, I don't understand. And they go about, they go here and there, and they say, I don't know whether a curse is following after me. If I try to develop this, and just at the time it's going to be established, everything will crumble again. And then I start another thing, and just at the time I'm going to be established, everything will crumble again. What's the solution to that? The solution to that is to invite the Almighty God, the living God, the God of the heavens and the earth, and the one that controls the whole universe, and he makes the world to be established, is to invite him to your heart and life, and to say, Lord, I've tried my best, I've tried everything I could, and every time I want to get it established, it's been demolished. I now give it into your hand, because I know anything that is surrendered into the hand of the Lord is going to be established. And then when you allow the Lord to take control and to rule and to reign forever and ever, you will never be disappointed in Jesus' name. We're looking at Psalm 45, Psalm 45, and we're reading from verse 6. Psalm 45, verse 6. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. That means then, the throne of God, we're talking about his throne in heaven, and also he has throne here on earth, and then in your heart, he has a throne. You say, Lord, reign, reign, Master Jesus, in my heart, in my life, in my family, reign, reign, Master Jesus. Say, there's a throne in my heart for the Lord, and I'm not going to have another Lord, another God, another being, another master, another controller over there on my heart forever and ever. Jesus will reign in your life in Jesus' name. And we're looking at Psalm 145, Psalm 145. I'm reading from verse 11. Psalm 145, verse 11. In Psalm 145, verse 11, here is what it says. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And the dominion endureth throughout what? All generations. And 146 verse 10. 146 verse 10. The Lord shall reign forever. The Lord shall reign forever. Even thy God, O Zion, to all generations, praise ye the Lord. We're looking at Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. Revelation chapter 11, and here we're looking at verse 15. That's when the kingdoms of this world, when they eventually come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he rules without a rival, and he rules without anybody that can say, what are you doing there? Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign for how long? Forever and ever. The reign of the eternal God, the everlasting King, extends over all people in all the nations from generation to generation. God's authority and dominion are unlimited and unrestricted. His sovereignty is unconfined, and his power is irresistible. The scriptures are full of the revelation of God's everlasting dominion. God's dominion is not only in the world, but also it's in heaven. It is not only in time, it's also in eternity. The duration of his reign extends through all eternity. God's dominion over men, over angels, will be forever and ever. All men, even Pharaoh or Saul or Nebuchadnezzar or Darius or Alexander the Great or Herod or Caesar or Nero, anyone that has anything, all of them, they came to an end, and their kingdoms and dominions always came to an end. They all came to an end. We shall continue to see the end of man's reign, but the time is not long enough to put God's reign to an end. The eternal God shall reign forever and ever. The government of the everlasting eternal King shall be forever. All his creatures, all men, all angels shall be ruled by his will, by his word, by his laws. And as the Almighty God, he is qualified in every way to govern and to rule over all men, over all things, over all angels, forever and ever. Dominion is his, and he has supreme power to exercise over all. By his omnipotence, he has established and sustained the earth and the heavens with all the inhabitants therein. By his infinite power, his infinite wisdom, will he reign over all forever and ever. He is clothed with majesty. The robe of his royalty will be ever glorious, and his kingdom and dominion, his majesty and glory, his wisdom and strength will be shown in eternal splendor in the sight of saints and angels forever and ever. And the people of God said,
amen.
Now we're going to look at the acts of this living God. We have seen the attributes of the living God, and we have seen the authority of the living God. Now we want to see his action, what he does, and what he did at that time, and what he's still doing today. We're looking at Daniel chapter 6, and we're reading from verse 27. Daniel chapter 6, verse 27. Let's see the act of the living God. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 27, he delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of lions. As you look at this verse, you rest and say, praise the Lord, this same God is my God. And our God is not a partial God. Our God is not a respecter of persons. If he saved, if he delivered, if he protected, if he rescued the believers of the past generation, all the believers you included in this generation, he will rescue you. He will deliver you. He will protect you. If you will rest and relax in the Lord, like Daniel did, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did, like Elijah and Elisha did, like Moses and Joshua did, like all those people of God did in the past, if you will rest in the Lord and believe in the Lord, no problem will crush you in Jesus' name. And no lion will be able to destroy you in Jesus' name. You can rest assured that the faithful God, he'll be faithful to his word, he'll be faithful to his promise, and when you pray, the Lord will answer that prayer. We're looking at the acts of the living God. We're looking at Psalm 97, verse 10. Not Psalm 97, we're looking at verse 10, still giving us the assurance that this God is a mighty God, and because of the love we have towards him, he's going to deliver, going to protect us in Jesus' name. Psalm 97 verse 10, ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He preserveth the souls of his saints. Will he preserve you?
Yes.
He will. Because it says, he delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. He is mightier than the wicked. He is more powerful than the wicked. He will deliver you in Jesus' name. Job chapter 5. Job chapter 5. I'm reading from verse 8. Job chapter 5. Reading from verse 8. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. That ought to be your decision. Because you know, he delivers, he rescues, he heals, he supports, he provides, he takes care of his soul. Because of that, you ought to say, I would seek unto God. Unto God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things, tell me the rest, without number, uncountable, innumerable. He does miracles uncountable. He does wonders, signs and wonders innumerable. From this year, you will know it in your life.
Amen.
Who giveth rain upon the earth and sendeth water upon the field. In verse 11, to set up on high those that are low. If you are low today, he'll raise you up.
Amen.
He will set you on high because you are low. That those that mourn may be exalted to safety. Your tears he will wipe away. In verse 12, it says, he disappointed the devices of the crafty. You see, all those princes and all those presidents, they were saying, we got him. The king, Darius, he wanted to promote him above us and beyond us. He wanted to make him number one. And you know, we're very clever. Were it not for our cleverness, we'll not have been able to get rid of him. That man, you know, his character was all right. Everything was all right. And the king was trying, instead of the king considering us, he wanted to put Daniel on top of everybody. But now we shut him up in the lion's den. Are you powerful enough to shut up a saint of God in the lion's den? Wait until tomorrow morning. I said, wait until tomorrow morning. You know, the morning came and then Darius ran there and said, Daniel, are you still there? Oh, yes, he said, I'm here, O king. Because the Lord has sent his angel. And then all the craftiness and all the devices of all those people, the Lord turned everything around. And then, you know, the king now said, all right, Daniel, come out. And when Daniel came out, he said, why don't you go there to see whether you are better than Daniel or not? And then he packed all of them and put them in that place. He never came back. I said he never came back because the pit that they tried to dig for the man of God, for you, a child of God, well, I want them to repent. I pray that they will not perish. But if your enemies don't repent, well, they will tell the story in eternity. But thank God we're children of God. The protection of God will be upon you in Jesus' name. I've marked this one in my Bible, this verse 12, mark it in your Bible. He disappointed the devices of the crafty. All the devices and the plots and the plans of your enemies, the Lord will disappoint them in Jesus' name. They want to hear bad news concerning you. They will wait and wait. They'll never hear bad news concerning you in Jesus' name. They want to hear the friends of Daniel and the relatives for them mourning and going about and fasting. They cannot eat because Daniel, our friend, is eaten up by the lions. Daniel, our relative, has been destroyed by lions. They will never hear bad news in Jesus' name. He disappointed the devices of the crafty so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. It will not happen. I said it will not happen. You will be safe and secured and protected and preserved in Jesus' name. Job chapter 9. Job chapter 9. I'm looking at verse 4. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength. That's your God. That's your Redeemer. That's your Savior. That's your Father in heaven. He is wise in heart and is mighty in strength. who has hardened himself against him and has prospered. No one, never. Let's look at it from verse 10. Which doeth great things, past finding out, ye wonders. Tell me the rest. Why don't you just accept it this year that God is going to do signs innumerable, uncountable, in your life and in your family? Because you trust in the Lord, it will happen in Jesus' name. Which doeth great things, not small things. This year, you are not for small miracle. Small things, great, great things are going to happen. Which doeth great things, past finding out. And yea, wonders without number. Lo, he goeth by me, and I see him not. He passeth also, but I perceive him not. Behold, he taketh away, and who can hinder him? Who will say unto him, what doest thou? Our God is wonderful. Our God is mighty. And this year will be a year of that same signs and wonders in Jesus' name. We're looking at Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. Now Daniel is gone, but we are still here. Darius is gone, but the kings of the world are still here. Those princes and presidents and prosecutors, they're still around, but the Lord is looking over you. He's protecting you. And signs and wonders, innumerable without number, will happen in your life this year. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 18. Isaiah chapter 8, we're looking at verse 18. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts which dwelleth in Mount Zion. I believe that when Daniel came out of that place and he saw the sign and the wonder, everybody looking at him said, look at me very well, look at me very well. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me were for signs and were for wonders in Babylon. And in your community, you are for signs and for wonders. In your school, you are for signs and wonders. In your college, university, you are for signs and wonders. And in your state, in your region, anywhere you are for signs and for wonders. And the next time when I see you and you see me, I'll tell you testimony, you'll tell me testimony. And the testimony of great, great things will never stop in your mouth in Jesus' name. Why don't you stand up and receive it from the Lord? God give it to Daniel, he'll give it to you. God give it to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he'll give it to you. Signs and wonders for the people of God this year. Open your mouth and tell the Lord. Thank the Lord for what we have learned today. And you see that the decree was reversed. Every negative thing that any Darius has written concerning you is going to reverse it himself. This year is going to be a year of blessing. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord in prayer. Great things without number. Good things without number. Signs and wonders without number. Innumerable. The things that God will do that will make the people of the world to reverse the negative things they said before and the negative things they planned before upon you. Because the Lord is going to reverse, he's going to destroy all the devices of the enemy concerning your life. Is the living God, he liveth forever and ever. Is the mighty God, is the all-powerful God, all-sufficient God. A God without limitation. A God without weakness. A God without failure. A God of all power. He reigns in heaven, he reigns on earth, he reigns in your heart. Trust him. Believe in him. Daniel believed in his God. That's why what those persecutors were intending to see, they couldn't see that. By tomorrow morning, we'll see that sign in your life. That wonder in your life. Darius were right about it. Kings were right about it. Men and women were right about it. The great wonders the Lord will do in your life, in your family. People will talk about it. And you will draw closer, nearer to God. You say, what a God is this, a mighty God is this, that has preserved my life and delivered me and rescued me. You will rejoice this year. Because our God is your God. The living God is your God. He is your Father. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. You can rest in Him. You can trust in Him. Enemies will not be able to laugh at you. The persecutors will not be able to see your defeat. What is thought will be the end will not be the end. You still have a ministry. You still have a ministry. You still have a commission. And the Lord will preserve your life and protect your life. Good things will happen to you. And good things will happen through you. Hold on to the Lord. Be steadfast, be stable. Don't forsake the living God for a dead God. Turn. And turn to the living God. Abide in the living God. Rest in Him. Rest in Him. He will do wonders in your life without number. Innumerable, uncountable. He'll fill your mouth with testimony. You will rejoice. Darius will rejoice with you. Your neighbors will rejoice with you. Friends will rejoice with you. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. There's no fear, no defeat for the people that trust in the Lord. The Lord is on your side. He will deliver you from every evil. This year will be different for you. The Lord has started already. You know, He has started already. It's well with you. It's well with your soul. He's a living God. You'll find Him alive in every situation of your life throughout this year. He's a God of majesty and authority. You'll find that majesty, authority in your life throughout this year. It's a God of mighty acts. Mighty acts. Miraculous acts. Marvelous acts. You'll find that in your life throughout this year. Trust in the Lord. There's no disappointment for those who trust in the Lord. Turn to the Lord and make up your mind you will never forsake the Lord. Great, mighty, innumerable, uncountable will be the power, the miracles, the signs and the wonders of the Almighty God in your life all through this year. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, you know, this year we will laugh, we will not cry. All our enemies, they'll be disappointed in Jesus' name. The goodness of God, the glory of God will shine upon your life. And Darius, who had been sorrowful all the night, and he took all the music away from him. He said, my friend is gone. My friend is dead. My friend is torn away. He's torn by the lions. Then he woke up in the morning. And he's thinking that maybe you are gone, but you're still there. Yeah. He thought maybe your family is gone, but your family is still there. Yeah. Your business is torn apart. No, but you're still there. Yeah. Your business is still there. Yeah. This year is a year of establishment. And the Lord will establish everything concerning you in Jesus' name. He thought, maybe your wife has had miscarriage again. No, that's of the past. No miscarriage again. No evil again. And then he calls you by your name. He tries to knock at your door. Are you still? Oh, you say, come in. We're celebrating Jesus here. And we're celebrating the power of God here. Come in and sit down. And then you begin to tell testimonies upon testimonies. And your testimonies will never end in Jesus' name. This year, I will rejoice with you. Why don't you raise up your hand? We're going to pray. The Lord started from, you know, that 1st of February, 1st of this month, and the 8th of this month, 15th of this month, and 22nd of this month. Now this is our last gathering together this month. We're going to seal all the blessing of God in your life. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for every brother here, every sister here. We thank you for every child, every boy and every girl. We thank you, Lord, for every member of this church. We pray, Lord, this year will be a year of establishment in Jesus' name. The goodness of God will reign in every life. The glory of God will reign in every life. Signs and wonders will follow everyone in Jesus' name. Lord, any lions den where your people are, all those lions that want to tear the people of God apart, will shut their mouths right now. All the craftiness of the enemy that they want to destroy any child of God, will take that child of God away from the mouth of the lion in Jesus' name. You will not die. You will live. Your child will not die. Members of your family will not die. Your business will not die. Nothing that will touch will die in Jesus' name. Your enemies will be disappointed. Your persecutors will be disappointed. All your tears are wiped away. All your sorrow is taken away. Your sickness is taken away. Your affliction is taken away. All the mountains are gone. Everything you open your mouth to tell the Lord in this covenant month, will seal it right now. God of heaven, God of power, God of majesty and God of glory, God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and God of the saints on earth and saints in heaven, and the living God, the mighty God, the powerful God, oh Lord, right now, because of your name. And we know that you will not allow your people to come to shame. Answer the prayers of your people in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, you are Savior. You are Redeemer. You are Director. You are Master. You are our Messiah. You are the right hand of our side of God. And you are praying for everyone. Lord, I pray every good thing you are promising your word will come to your people this year in Jesus' name. Lord, we believe in you. We don't believe in the world. We don't believe in Satan. We don't believe in idols. We don't believe in any dead God. We believe in the living God. And Lord, we pray you will affirm, you will establish the faith of your people in Jesus' name. This year your people will go from strength to strength, from power to power, from blessing to blessing, from glory to glory. We'll rejoice in the abundance of the blessings of God. I pray nobody will remain sorrowful. Nobody will remain weak. Nobody will remain backward. Make your people the head and not the tail. Let them climb the mountaintop this year in Jesus' name. When Darius comes to visit us early in the morning, wanting to see what has happened, what has happened, what has happened, Darius and all the people of Babylon, all the people of the world, all the people in our community, they'll see the glory of God. And you see the power of God protecting, preserving you in Jesus' name. The work of your hand will be established. Go back home and go and succeed. Go back home and go and rejoice. Go back home and go and celebrate. Because the Lord is on your side. And the blessing of God will never stop in your life. We thank you, Lord, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Another final amen. Higher, 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 higher. Higher, 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 Jesus, higher, 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 higher. Amen. That's the song the Lord has given you this year. You sing it, you will see the back of the devil. He will run away from you. You have the victory now. No tears, no crying. Celebrate and rejoice.